Good morning. The time is 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Morning Edition here on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Emily Kwong with Raven News for Wednesday, April 15th, 2015. The Sitka Assembly faced a packed agenda last night, but after 4 hours of meeting, Assembly members postponed decisions on most of the bigger issues. The Assembly put off a discussion on whether to raise electric rates and by how much until a special meeting next Thursday, April 23rd. A discussion on whether to fund the ride, Sitka's bus system, was also rescheduled for next Thursday. And while Assembly members expressed general support for finding an additional $1 million for the struggling Sitka School District, they couldn't muster much enthusiasm for any of the specific proposals before them. After some prodding by City Administrator Mark Gorman, the Assembly asked staff to draw up proposals to double the city's tobacco tax and to raise the cap on purchases subject to sales tax from $1,500 to $3,000. But that still wasn't quite enough, Gorman said.
Deputy Mayor, before we go, I guess we haven't hit the million-dollar threshold, and we'll be looking, staff will be waiting to hear of some other suggestions, and we'll bring forward the ordinances.
Assembly members then added a proposal to eliminate the sales tax exemption on long-term rentals. Those options will all be discussed at the next regular Assembly meeting on April 28th. Meanwhile, the school board will hold a final hearing on its budget tonight at 7 p.m. in the Kiku Shaheen Multipurpose Room. In the end, the biggest news last night was Harrigan Centennial Hall. The Assembly voted to put the building renovation out to bid, a major milestone in the years-long project. The project will expand the building's meeting and convention spaces, revamp the Sitka Historical Museum, and create a new second entrance on the waterfront. Plans call for energy-efficient heat pumps and an all-new AV system. And Assembly members went out of their way to remind Sitka that the project is being paid for entirely with outside grants, not with city money. KCAW's Rachel Waldholz reports.
Before the Assembly voted on whether to put the long-awaited Harrigan Centennial Hall renewal project out to bid, Sitka resident Matt Donahoe stepped up to the mic.
It's not too late to back out of this project, is it?
Donahoe said he worries the project will cost more than expected. He pointed to the example of Kettleson Memorial Library right next door. Bids for the library renovation came in about $1 million over budget, and then design flaws briefly brought the project to a halt this winter.
I just couldn't forgive myself. I didn't take this last opportunity to ask if there's any way we can back out on this sucker.
And despite years of design and engineering work and countless public meetings on everything from display cases to landscaping, the answer is yes. The city could still back out, said Assemblymember Michelle Putz.
Yes, we could back out of this. We absolutely could. It would be very sad, though, because we would lose out on a lot of state grant funding that is not going to be going to Sitka if we back out on it. It would just go away.
And this was a point that Assembly members made over and over and over again. The entire $16 million project is funded by state grants. And the vast majority of that money comes from taxes on cruise ship passengers, which means it comes with strings attached. It can only be used for projects that enhance the visitor experience.
You know, it can't go towards reducing our electric rates. It can't go towards helping lower income folks.
Assembly members also pointed out that the new building is expected to cost about half as much to heat, despite the larger footprint, but asked member Steven Eisenbeis, what will happen if bids come in too high?
Bids can and do come in higher than the funding amount, and that's my concern with this project. I love it for the $16.3 million. Let's do it, but if we get over that, we're already looking and trying to find quite a bit of money in next year's budget cycle. So,
Public Works Director Michael Harmon said the city can always reduce the scope of the project.
And I think he's spot on that potential is there, that we come back and we're over budget. It happens all the time. I'm not going to beat around the bush about that. Could happen. There's ways of dealing with that and getting it back in line with the budget. It's going to be our choice. It's not a victim situation where we have to take it by any means.
Harmon said the building is 50 years old, and it needs serious work whether or not the city goes ahead with the renewal project.
And strongly advise that we move forward and take care of this infrastructure burden while we have the opportunity with these cruise ship dollars.
That verdict was echoed by Sitka resident and former city administrator John Stein.
Thank you, Assembly, for the work session this afternoon where you showed us what a fabulous project this was to be and how much it would expand the space.
Stein called it one of the best, most universally used buildings in the city. And at 50 years old, he said, it deserves a makeover. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
And the Assembly also approved on first reading a proposal to conduct the 2015 and 2016 municipal elections entirely by mail. Since the city's usual polling place at Harrigan Centennial Hall will be under construction, Assembly members argued it would be a good time to see if voting by mail-in ballots increases turnout. After the jury cleared the city of Hoonah in a wrongful death lawsuit on Monday afternoon, two women with opposing views on the case reflected on its aftermath. KTO's Matt Miller has the story.
Haley Tokaoka year out and Debbie Green hugged after the jury had returned with a verdict Monday afternoon and the courtroom had largely cleared out. But for Green, the embrace didn't mean all was forgiven.
It was just a gesture.
Is there still hard feelings?
There will always be hard feelings for what she's done to me.
4 years ago, Green and Tokaoka year out were united in grief and supported each other following their mutual tragedy. Green watched as her son, a Hoonah police officer, was gunned down on Hoonah's front street. Tokaoka year out, then called just Haley Tokaoka, watched her husband Matthew die in the Hoonah clinic, also shot, while trying to help his wounded colleague and friend. The mutual support, the bonding between the two women, all that started to change when John Marvin was convicted of murdering both officers and Tokaoka filed a wrongful death lawsuit against the city of Hoonah. She argued that Wallace's alleged lack of training and his actions provoked Marvin into shooting both men. She also claimed at least $3 million in damages stemming from the shooting. Over the course of a two-week trial in Juneau, jurors heard conflicting testimony about Wallace's alleged use of a police vehicle's overhead light bar, loudspeaker, and the chirping of a siren during a pretend traffic stop of the Tokaoka family vehicle just before the shooting. Green was on a ride-along with Wallace the night of the shooting, while Tokaoka was with his family before going on duty. Jurors also heard testimony about Wallace briefly shining his flashlight at Marvin's house. A year before the shooting, both officers used tasers to subdue Marvin after they were allegedly assaulted by him at his house. Charges in that case were eventually dropped, and Marvin was released after serving time in jail. Monday afternoon, the jury returned with a verdict in the civil case.
Did the shooting of Matthew Tokaoka arise out of and in the course of his employment as a police officer? And we did answer that as yes. And we're directed that if the question number one was yes, that we do not answer any further questions on this form.
That was the jury foreman on the critical first question, which was important because Tokaoka year out already received a workers' compensation payout. During individual polling, one juror said the verdict was the decision of the jury, but not his decision. Only 10 out of 12 jurors needed to agree in this civil case. Haley Tokaoka year out left the courthouse without talking to reporters, but her attorney, John Choate, says they had hoped it would go differently.
We certainly are disappointed and we disagree with the jury's decision. We are thankful and respectful of their service.
Choate moved for a judgment against Marvin, but he concedes that it's unlikely they would recover any damages from him.
Probably not.
Green testified for the defendants, the city of Hoonah.
I feel like just a ton of weight's been lifted off of me. Just to know that Tony was proven that he did nothing wrong, and him and Matt were good friends.
Green says the verdict affirms her son's professionalism, although the jury really didn't get a chance to specifically address that issue. Jurors needed to reach a different verdict for the first question to advance through a series of more questions and a four-page special verdict form. They included questions about whether the shining of Wallace's flashlight at Marvin's house was an investigative act or an act of negligence with someone believed to be emotionally disturbed and unpredictable. Jurors then would have determined whether Tokaoka year out suffered any emotional distress, how much damages to award to her and Tokaoka's four children, and how to divide fault between Marvin and the city of Huna. Choate says they're not sure what's next.
Well, there's always a possibility of appeal. We have to look at the case, review our records, and decide whether that would be appropriate, and if so, what decisions specifically we would appeal.
Green says Tokaoka Yearout's testimony destroyed any relationship they had.
That's not what happened that night.
The part about the siren chirping, the loudspeaker?
None of that happened. No, none of that was true. And I hope she can live with what she's done to me. And I'll just keep praying for her. I hope she finds peace someday.
Marvin is currently serving a 198-year sentence for the murder of Tokaoka and Wallace. His criminal case is currently on appeal. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
And that's it for Raven News this morning. Temperatures are holding at 43 degrees with overcast skies. Rain is predicted throughout our listening region. At 8:16, Zeke Blackwell will be in the studio to talk about the Young Performers Theater and their upcoming performance of The Merry Wives of Windsor. We're heading to national and state headlines. This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.